Reminder, if you haven't filled out your Alpha response form from last weekend, that's in your show bag that was handed out last weekend, you can pop that into the offering bucket at any service. There's also a post box at the iConnect desk. And as you heard earlier, next weekend is our contribute weekend, and we'll be giving you opportunity to contribute over the next 12 months to our Home and Away Fund, 50% used to support our Forever Home for 8 abandoned boys who are abandoned no longer in Johannesburg in South Africa, and the other 50% goes toward our local projects around the Bayside area of Melbourne. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity now to open the pages of this most amazing book, and that, Lord God, you would speak to us through its pages. Holy Spirit, thank you that we get to sit with the author of this book, that you will explain its words to us. May they go off inside our hearts and minds. May we have the faith to put them into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go together to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is our key scripture for 2011. Freedom. And our key verse for this year is Galatians 5 verse 1. And it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free," which is a wonderful statement. And then it encourages us, "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Last weekend's message was just on that one verse, so much in there. If you missed the message, make sure you get a copy of it. It's online on baysidechurch.com.au, free of charge through to Monday. Today I want to go on from there. If you drop down to verse 13, and Paul says here, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. I love the way Eugene Peterson puts this in the Message translation, and I've placed this in your notes as well. "It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. But everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom." Tonight I want to zero in on two words, and that is this: one another. We find those words all the way through the scripture, particularly in the New Testament. The other two words that you find on a regular basis are the words each other. And if you want to look those up, if you have a concordance, or you can go online and look at an online concordance, just type the words each other into that, and it will bring up a number of references in addition to the ones that we're going to look at tonight about one another, a number of references about each other. The fact is that the entire New Testament was written to communities of people. And it's so important that we understand that. I guess really you do understand that because you've plugged into a community and you're here tonight. But all of the New Testament was either written to communities of people, or it was written to leaders of communities, people like Timothy, people like Titus that were leading churches. It's amazing then that there are people in this world today who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but have never ever had a revelation of the importance of connection. They say, "Well, I don't need to connect to be a Christian." And, you know, I know they're right in one regard. You can accept Jesus, and, you know, if you lived on a desert island, you could accept Jesus as your Savior, and you could live there all on your little lonesome, and when you died, you'd go to be with the Lord in heaven. Absolutely. But, you know, that statement just flies in the face of the entire New Testament that constantly encourages us to be in community with other people who have also accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The one another statements in Scripture really fly in the face of our individualistic culture. couple of weeks ago, I wrote a blog on loneliness. It's on our website. Some of you may have read it. And I'll read a section of that blog to you, which starts with a quote from the Anglican Archbishop of Sydney, Dr. Peter Jensen, who last year described loneliness as one of the major problems confronting society, the result of an emphasis on the individual at the expense of a commitment to other people. And I agree with Dr. Jensen's statement. This individualism can even creep into our Christian faith so that we think it's all about Jesus and me. Some Christian songs even reflect this view, such as "All I Need Is You, Lord." We need to remember that even the first human who had a perfect relationship with God was still alone, and God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." God's solution to loneliness was the company of another human being. And this is still God's solution, and a major reason why Jesus is building his church to create a stable community in which the terrible disease of loneliness can be cured. A few weeks ago, I saw an interesting message, an interesting status on Facebook from one of my Facebook friends, of which there are over 2,300 these days. And I want you to know they're all very deep, meaningful friendships. I just have an amazing capacity for friends. Now, this young guy wrote this, and I do know this young fella reasonably well, and I spotted this as his status one day. He said, "I worship God my way. I won't stand in a room full of hypocrites filled with masked hatred, raising their hands to the ceiling. The sight of a tree, a bird, a mountain, the sea, these things show me the wonders of God. When I'm alone and not judged by others who claim holiness, in the silence, alone with creation, this is where he reveals himself to me." And I partly agree and I partly disagree. And I felt, because I know him reasonably well and he's actually given me an opening into his life to speak into his life, that I would take that opportunity. And so this is my response to him. First of all, publicly, because he'd put something up publicly, and then we continued the dialogue privately. And I said this: "Worshipping God in his creation certainly is a wonderful thing, but God also wants you to worship him his way, not just your own way. Part of worshipping God's way is joining with others who love him so that you can love him together. Look up all the one another statements in the New Testament. There are over 50 of them. It's really hard to love one another on your own." Smiley face. "One another is used in the Bible to indicate a reciprocal relationship." Reciprocal, that means a mutual, give and take, shared, equal relationship. The opposite of reciprocal is one-sided. Anyone here ever been in a one-sided relationship or a one-sided friendship? I'm sure every single one of us have. Yeah, there are a few people putting their hands up. Thank you for the response. It's not nice, is it? I've had friends like that over the years where you're always the one that picks up the phone and gives them a call. And they're always glad to hear from you. Well, of course they're always glad to hear from me. What are you laughing for? and we chat away and we must catch up. And then you hang up and then you don't hear another thing until a little while later. And so you pick up the phone again or you send them an email. Hey, let's catch up. What about lunch on such and such a day? And you get a response: "Oh yeah, I can't make it that day. I'll get back to you." But they never do. After a few months of that, or a few years, if you're really slow like me, to actually get a hold of the truth, you get tired of it, don't you? You don't want to be the recipient of a one-sided relationship. And we mustn't treat our brothers and sisters in Christ in that way, and we certainly mustn't treat God that way. He's already done so much for us, and it's easy to say, "Oh yeah, gimme, and you just keep on going. But God does not want one-sided friendships and one-sided relationships with us. He wants it to be two-way. So like our prayer life needs to reflect that. Sometimes people's prayers can be like shopping lists. "God, good morning, I want this, 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 and this. In Jesus' name, amen. See you tomorrow morning." And if we treated a friend like that, they would soon get tired of it and challenge us or distance themselves from us. One-sided. It's got to be two-sided. It's all about, in the church of God, it's about one another. In your notes, I've put a number of one another scriptures. Let's have a look at them very quickly tonight. John chapter 13, verses 34, 35. This is Jesus speaking. See if you can pick the message that Jesus is trying to get across. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Anyone pick the secret message? Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 16. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. The word devoted means, in the original Greek language, it means as you would to your own parents and children. Be devoted to one another, just like you would to your own flesh and blood. Because I got news for you. In the family of God, the people around you are your own flesh and blood, won by the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ himself. And so we need to be devoted to one another, just like we would to our natural families. Honor one another. The word honor means to put a high price on, or to consider as precious. Put a high price on one another. Consider one another as precious. And then it says, live in harmony with one another. I love the word harmony. We heard harmonies tonight from James on piano and the rest of our worship team. They were playing all different notes. But when they're all played together, these notes all sound nice. That's what harmony means. It doesn't mean we all have to be the same. No. What it means is we bring all of our differences together, but when we play together, we all sound nice. The opposite is discord. Okay? Discord, if James was to hit a discord on the keyboard tonight, we would have all gone, ooh. And he didn't do that, and I'm very grateful for that. And he's actually a very accomplished piano player, and he doesn't play discord. He plays beautifully. But if he ever hits a discord, we'd all know about it. Even the musically illiterate amongst us. Or, ooh, it's horrible. It sounds horrible. And it sounds horrible and feels horrible in a church community too, where there's discord. Suddenly, ooh, goes on. Why? Because there's no more harmony. And it says here, live in harmony with one another. Romans 14, 13, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Romans 15, 7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. What a wonderful power acceptance has. And I want you to notice, church, the standard of acceptance in the church. Just as Christ accepted you. Okay? Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. How did Jesus accept you? How did he accept me? You know, when I first came to him, and I've shared some of my testimony over the years, so many of you know some of the things I was getting up to in my late teens and early 20s, but when I came to Jesus, there were no questions asked. And not all my bad behavior stopped straight away on accepting Jesus Christ. I'm not really proud of this, but I remember a number of months after accepting Jesus as my Savior, I'd gone to a party one night and I'd actually got drunk. I'd drunk an entire bottle of whiskey. Dreadful. These days I'm into a very different spirit. But I got completely smashed. And the next day I went to a baptism. Not mine. I felt dreadful, you know, absolutely terrible. And if I did that now, that would be completely unacceptable. But there is a bucket load of grace on people when they first give their lives to Jesus. And I was totally and 100% accepted by him. No questions asked. And that's what the Bible says. It says here, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you. Warts and all. Before we become perfect, before we get our act completely together, which I really don't think is going to happen this side of heaven anyway. And I think I'm probably in good company, aren't I? So glad. Romans 15, verse 14, I myself, says Paul, am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. That's what connect groups are all about. It's about instructing one another. I love that about connect groups. You know, when you come to a large meeting, the church gathered in a large meeting like this, there isn't time to instruct one another. Someone like myself with a teaching gift, teaching you the Word of God and you listening to it and then applying it in your life during the week. But when you go to a connect group, you get to sit with a small group of people, and it's not one person instructing a small group. It's about one person guiding group discussion, instructing one another, people bringing a scripture, a word, a thought, a testimony, an experience, a question, and all coming together and discussing, instructing one another. Romans 16, 16, Paul says this four times in the New Testament, greet one another with a holy kiss. Mwah. A holy one. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, the agreement here is on the main issues of the Christian faith. In other words, we all agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of a virgin, so that he didn't inherit a sin nature, that he died on a cross and rose again for our justification, that we might be declared fully pardoned. All of those things we agree on, we have the same mind on. That's what it's saying, okay? It doesn't mean we can't have opinions on different things. If we were to survey the congregation, in fact, we did late last year, survey the congregation on a number of different issues, and it shows quite a lot of variety in our church community. And that's all fine as long as we agree on the key issues. Ephesians 4:2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That literally means put up with one another. And there are times, aren't there, where we just have to put up with one another. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And there's a standard again on this, just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the standard of forgiveness that flows in the church community. How did God forgive me when I came to him? Well, 100%. How do we forgive each other? Well, 100%. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The Greek word there is hupotasso. Love saying that. It means to arrange under, okay? And so submission in the body of Christ is arranging yourself under leadership voluntarily. And that's the key. In New Testament scripture, there is no room for dictatorial, authoritarian leadership. That sort of stuff will kill you. I know, I was under a leader like that for about 6 years early in my Christian life. It's horrible. Just brings death into people's lives. But it's when you trust your leadership and you go, hey, I want to be under leadership like that, and you voluntarily place yourself under that authority. Okay, that's what hupotasso means. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's to one another. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. The word admonish means to caution or reprove gently. Again, no room for a dictator coming in and obliterating someone when you're going through a difficult time, or when you're going through a time of disagreeableness. It's like that young man on Facebook. You know, I brought correction, I brought reproof to him, but very gently. And he's able to receive that because he knows that I love him and have his best interest at heart, not as some sort of authoritarian leader trying to lop someone's head off with the sword of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another, build each other up, just like a house, okay? Hebrews 10:24-25, let us consider how we may spur one another on. That's an incentive, like a spur stuck into the side of a horse. That's an incentive. Toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the second coming of Christ approach. James 4:11, brothers, do not slander one another. Really shouldn't have to be said, but some of the things that have been said from Christians to Christians that I've heard over the years would make your hair curl if I had any. Brothers, do not slander one another. And that is to say untrue or malicious things about one another, to defame one another. Defame, interesting word. The prefix D means to take away from. Fame is talking about someone's reputation. Okay, so to defame is to take someone's reputation away. How easy it is to take away someone's reputation. How hard it is to get a good reputation. Doesn't just happen in a few days. It takes months. It takes years to gain a good reputation. And some people, by unwise words, can knock the whole thing down. It takes actually skill to build, does it not? But any ning-nong can come in and knock something over. You can see it, you know, that it might take years to build a stunning building, but then they've finished with the building, and so someone comes in, lays a bit of dynamite, and kaboom, it's gone in 30 seconds, just a pile of rubble. Or they bring one of those big wrecking balls in, bang, and start knocking the things down. A few hours, it's all gone. Our words can be like wrecking balls in people's lives. They can be like dynamite to destroy. And the Bible says here, don't defame, don't slander one another, don't vilify, don't make a mockery of, don't betray, don't speak evil of or speak against your brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, we haven't got them coming over, have we? Oh, I wish we didn't have people coming over tonight. Oh, goodness sake, what are we going to give them? No, do it without grumbling. 1 Peter 5:5, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. That is, ongoing forgiveness, cleansing, and purity happen best in community with other believers. Listen to this. I think John, being Jesus' cousin, being Jesus' best mate, I should say, John the Baptist was his cousin. Different John. This one had a head. Well, that's one way to get a head. John really got the message that Jesus was trying to preach, I reckon. Listen to this in 1 John 3, chapter 4. He says, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And just in case we didn't get the message in 1 John, he wrote 2 John, where in verse 5 he says, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. Why did he just write the same thing over and over again? It's because we forget easily, that's why. I heard of a pastor many, many years ago in church who got up one weekend and that was his text, love one another. And he preached a sermon on love one another and everyone went home afterwards and said, that was a good message. The following week, they all rolled up to church and the pastor turned to the same text. And they thought, oh, he must have something else to say from that text, but he didn't. He preached exactly the same message the second week on love one another. And people thought, oh, this is a bit strange. Maybe he's getting a little bit forgetful. Maybe he'd forgotten he preached it last week. That's okay. So they went home. Yeah, message was okay. Following week, third week, they got to church and at the time of the message, they opened their Bibles to the same text and he preached exactly the same message for the third time. And people were starting to grumble. And I was like, oh, come on, we heard this 2 weeks ago. Fourth week, he did exactly the same. And the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh, and the eighth. Until people were really getting pretty ticked off with this guy because he only ever had one sermon left. And so they asked him, they said, how come you're going to teach the same message over and over again? He said, when you start doing it, I'll stop preaching it. Okay. So the message is, that's great. Easy to say. Let me finish off with two other thoughts that I want to say before we hand over to Chelsea, and she's going to direct us in regard to Connect Group sign up. Two things I want to talk about, our responsibility to include and your responsibility to connect, okay? So our responsibility, and when I say our, I mean the whole church community's responsibility to include. When I first pioneered Bayside, it was with a group of people that were sent out from another church with that church's blessing. And there was just a small group of us. I never actually counted the number of people that came. I think it was probably around kind of 25, maybe 30 people. And we knew each other really, really, really well. And so we thought we were friendly. And we were friendly to each other. After a while, you know, the church was growing. We probably had, you know, maybe 50, 60, 70 people over the first 12 to 18 months come in and call Bayside Church their home. But also during that time, there were a significant number of people that visited who gave me this feedback. It went something like this. Really enjoyed the worship, great music, really enjoyed the teaching of the word, but afterwards no one spoke to us. And so some of those people didn't stick. In fact, probably most of them didn't stay. They went to other churches where the worship experience may not have been as good, and maybe the teaching wasn't as good either, but the people were friendly. And we got to understand this, is that people actually want to be part of a friendly community more than they want great music and more than they want great teaching, by the most part. 70% of Christians say the number one reason they're part of a church is because they have friends there. And so when I get this feedback over and over again, I thought, I've got to do something about this. And so one Sunday, I shared the feedback with our congregation. I said, look, we got visitors coming in and they're telling us we're not friendly. And I said, we think we're friendly because we're friendly to each other, but we're not friendly to new people. And so I encourage you, be friendly to new people. Well, that's the only time I've ever had to address that with our church, because everyone just took it on board. And from that moment, all the people that were visiting said, wow, everything's so friendly here. Made me a cup of tea and people invited me for lunch and it's wonderful. And the church really started to take off in growth from that point, friendliness. For the most part, our visitors these days give me that same story. They say, you know, people were really friendly. I got hugged on the way in. And, you know, people talked to me and people chatted and made me tea or coffee or whatever. But I just want to say we've got to constantly lift our game on that. And you know, because we all naturally go to our comfort zone. We naturally gravitate toward familiar faces. There's a familiar face. There's someone I know. There's someone I like. There's someone I feel comfortable with. But what about the people that are brand new standing around on their own? We have a responsibility to connect with other people and to break out of our comfort zone. And finally tonight, your responsibility to connect. And by your, I mean each and every one of you as individuals have a responsibility to connect. And so here are three things, just very quickly, to help you connect. Be friendly, be realistic, and be proactive. Be friendly. Have you ever tried to connect with an unfriendly person? They're not smiling, not happy, don't know whether they really like you or not. It's a bit difficult. You're trying to engage them in conversation. You ask them questions and they answer the three questions, yes, no, and maybe. And it's really hard work. And after a while, you have nothing else to give because that person is not reciprocating in giving. And so to connect, you've got to be friendly. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. It's a two-way street. Be realistic. You don't make old friends overnight. Okay? If you're brand new at Bayside Church, if you don't know anyone or you don't know many people here, it's going to take a while for you to make friendships. Okay, you don't go deep with people overnight, and then finally be proactive. And that's what tonight and this weekend is all about, joining a connect group. Be proactive. Persist, especially if you're a shy person. It is difficult. I understand I'm shy myself. But no, seriously, if you do find yourself shy and a little introverted, it's going to be hard. But you have a choice, either to be isolated or be connected. And so it is hard. The first night, you go into a connect group. You've never been to the home. You might not know the people that own the house. You might not know anyone in the group. And so it's difficult. There will be a million reasons come into your mind of why this is not a good idea and why you should do something else. But you need to get behind yourself and push yourself, okay, to go in there, to knock on that front door. And yes, the first night might be a little uncomfortable. but persist over the process of time. And if you go to one Connect group and you've been there for a few weeks and it's just not happening, try another one, okay? Because it's all about chemistry with people. And once you've found it, you'll be like some of the people we saw on that DVD tonight, so very grateful that they followed through, that they connected with other people, and that they made great friends. Let's bow in prayer together. While we're praying, James is going to come and play some harmony. No discord, brother. No pressure. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. May your word just settle into our hearts and minds, Lord God. Thank you for your word. Your word which is old but fresh. Worked in the first century, works in the 21st century. Because you've made us like yourself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in community. You made us in your image. It's not good for people to be alone. It's good for people to be with each other, to connect, to laugh, to cry, to love, to pray, to encourage, to be there, have an arm around a shoulder, a hearty handshake or a hug, to eat together, to enjoy together. Lord, I pray that tonight through this word, people will connect more than ever before. Bayside be friendlier than it has ever been before. As we look out beyond ourselves and our friendship circle and our comfort zone to connect with others. Help us to be doers of your word, Lord God, that we might be blessed and be a blessing. That's while every head is bowed and every eye closed right across this auditorium. At every service at Bayside, we always give opportunity for people to connect with God. God wants to connect with you. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to live amongst human beings that he might reveal to them what God is actually like. And Jesus died on a cross. And when he died on that cross, he paid the penalty, the punishment for everything that you and I have ever done wrong. The Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the sons and daughters of God. Tonight, while no one's looking around, and I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but if you would like to connect with God, if you want to have a relationship with him, starting now, lasting forever, I want you to lift your hand up nice and high right where you are. Anyone at all, so lift your hand up now as I look across the auditorium. God bless you. It's wonderful. That's great. Anyone else like to join this lady tonight? Just lift your hand up quickly, right now. Give me a bit of a wave so I can see you clearly. Okay, let's stand together, shall we? One lady has responded tonight. I just love the fact that every weekend people are coming to faith in Christ. I love hanging out after church, chatting with people who got saved last weekend. You know, it's wonderful, and they're so excited because they found that the word they've heard is true. My goodness, there is a God. He does love me. I'm feeling his power and presence in my life. I feel clean. I feel set free. There's excitement about the present and the future. Right now, we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to say this prayer. We're all going to repeat it together. And the lady who just raised your hand, I want you to make this your prayer, okay? And as you do, God's going to hear your prayer and he's going to respond to it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe on the cross, Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior and my friend. Come into my life. Forgive me, wash me clean, and fill me with your presence. From this day forward, I will live for you and serve you and connect with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. Let's praise Him in this place, shall we? Thank you, Lord God.